The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
For decades, the power of women's hormone shifts has been unrecognized and underestimated. Most women have a lack of education when it comes to the endocrine system and how and why our hormones affect our minds, moods, and behaviors. Welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, with your host, Leslie Carol Botha, sponsored by True Hope, the leaders in brain health. When women thrive, everyone thrives. That is True Hope. Now, here is your host, Leslie Botha.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Carol Botha, your host. I'm a women's health educator, broadcast journalist, and internationally recognized expert on women's hormones and behaviors, and the co-author of Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. The valuable book was written for women who want to understand the sometimes confusing physical and psychological changes they experience each month. The book is available on Amazon, or you can get it through my blog at holyhormones.com. The sponsor of this show is True Hope Nutritional Support. I ask that you visit them at truehope.com. Most of you realize that we've been doing a whole series on the brain, the effects of medications on neural pathways in the brain. And now we're tackling the issue of vaccines in this groundbreaking show with Dr. Brian Hooker. And the title of the episode is Welcome to Autism America. But I have to go back to my sponsor first, because 5 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible to be talking about vaccines on the air, to even find a sponsor to sponsor a show for anyone talking about vaccine damage, neurological damage, autism, and to stand up and have the courage to say, this is wrong, this is the message that needs to get out to people. And so I want to thank True Hope Nutritional Support for their sponsorship of this show. They are doing great things, and they are the leaders in brain health. So, welcome to Autism America. One in 68 children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, ASD. My guest is Brian Hooker, Ph.D., P.A.P.E. He is an associate professor of biology at Simpson University in Redding, California, where he specializes in chemistry and biology. In 1985, Dr. Hooker earned his Bachelor of Science degree in chemical engineering from California State Polytechnic University. He earned his Master's of Science degree in 1988 and his doctorate in 1990, both in biochemical engineering from Washington State University. Hooker has published over 50 science and engineering papers in internationally recognized peer-reviewed journals. He has a son, age 16, who developed normally but then regressed into autism after receiving thimerosal-containing vaccines. Dr. Hooker's investigative research is sponsored by the Focus Autism Foundation, which is dedicated to informing the public about the causes of the autism epidemic and the rise of chronic illnesses. To learn more, visit A Shot of Truth at ashotoftruth.org, an educational website sponsored by Focus Autism at focusautisminc.org. So to vaccinate or not vaccinate. This issue has been on the table for at least 30 years. It is, as Brian stated yesterday on Terry Aranga's radio show, Autism One, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, the U.S. vaccination campaign is the biggest iatrogenic disaster in history. Period. At the end of March, the CDC released its latest report on the number of children aged 11 with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, in the U.S. The report was based on data collected in 2010 and shows a devastating 30% increase in ASD since the last data was released in 2010. Those figures were based on data collected in 2008, when it was estimated that 1 in 88 children were afflicted with ASD. The latest numbers now show that at least 1 in 68 children are afflicted. The CDC surveyed children in 11 states where ASD rates varied from 1 in 45 in New Jersey to 1 in 175 in Alabama. The prevalence of ASD in New Jersey represents the highest figure ever recorded and reported, affecting nearly 22 children per thousand. That figure represents the highest ever report for a single site since the CDC started closely monitoring 11 U.S. states in 2000. And there are many who believe ASD rates are much higher than what the government is reporting. And in fact, one CDC study shows that rate to be one child in 50. So enter Brian Hooker, biochemist. Dr. Hooker created a firestorm last year when he revealed he obtained sensitive CDC documents through a Freedom of Information Act request. He initiated this process in 2002 and in the past decade, with the assistance of two congressional members, has submitted over 100 FOIA requests for studies and government reports on neurological damage when children are exposed to thimerosal. His analysis shows statistically significant risks of autism associated with the vaccine preservative thimerosal, which is 50% mercury by weight, citing methodical itemized misrepresentation and outright errors in the government's analysis. Dr. Hooker cites that many children are receiving 49 vaccines by the age of 6. That is 49 needle sticks, many with multiple antigens. Dr. Hooker is going to reveal that the CDC is aware that pregnant women getting the flu vaccine are 8 times more likely to bear a child with neurological impairment. In addition, he revealed that infant exposure to vaccines increases a child's likelihood of developing ASD by 7.6 times, and that high risk of autism was known to CDC officials in 2000. And the vaccine adverse event reporting system, theirs, shows a 4,250% increase in fetal deaths after the flu shot is given to pregnant women. This is all evidence. This is science. Brian, we're no longer the anti-vaxxers. We're standing on the side of justice, and I applaud you for the role that you are taking in revealing all of this information. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Leslie. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you getting the word out. This is vital information, and you're absolutely right. We are on the side of good science, and I've been looking at the CDC science since I really became aware of this issue and became just keen that there was malfeasance going on in 2002. I just can't find any particular CDC study in this area, where they're looking at autism or other neurodevelopmental disorders and even neurodevelopmental challenges, like lower IQ, things like that. I do not find any study that gives you essentially good science. It is all tobacco science.
And it's all tobacco science, meaning that the outcomes back up what they want to see.
Right.
Is that what you mean by that?
Exactly. Tobacco science, meaning that this is akin to the science that the tobacco industry put out for years and years and years, saying that lung cancer was not linked to smoking in any way, shape, or form. So this is the type of science that CDC is putting out. And they're an agency that is completely conflicted. There's a horrible conflict of interest with a federal agency who's in charge of the uptake of vaccines in the United States. They buy from the vaccine industry. They buy over $4 billion worth of vaccines to distribute in the United States every year. And these are the ones that are supposed to be in charge of vaccine safety at the same time. They just should not be doing what they're doing, period.
So they're actually the broker.
They are the broker. They are the broker, and when individuals receive vaccines, you know, specifically when infants receive their vaccines or pregnant women receive their vaccines, what's happening is they're getting their vaccines from their pediatrician or obstetrician. They're, you know, these individuals buy the vaccines from the health department. The health departments get them from the state health department, and the state health departments get them from the CDC. And so the CDC is at the top of the distribution system. The CDC is the one that has the most to lose from a financial perspective and a reputation perspective if indeed vaccines are linked to the autism epidemic, and I would contend that they solidly are.
So let me ask you this. You know there's a link between thimerosal and autism. A growing portion of, a huge growing portion of medical consumers know there is a link between thimerosal and vaccines and autism, and the government knows there is a link, but yet the government is not going public on the issue. Why?
The government will not go public on the issue because, number one, there was a calculated decision back as early as 1999 that the CDC would never find a relationship between vaccines and autism. And the CDC, you know, there was what was called, the Joint American Academy of Pediatrics and Public Health Service statement. Public Health Service includes the CDC back in 1999. It was a statement to manufacturers basically to phase thimerosal out of vaccines as soon as possible. Here we are today. It is 2014. Thimerosal is still in vaccines. It's still in over 50% of the flu shots that are distributed in the United States, and over probably more like 70% of the flu shots that are available and given to pregnant women.
And pregnant women, I mean, this doesn't even make sense, giving the flu shot to pregnant women, but let's go back to that. I find it odd that the CDC would release this data showing that there is an epidemic of autism in the United States. Again, welcome to Autism America, with April and Autism Awareness Month right around the corner. Was Autism Awareness Month developed or created because this is when the CDC releases its data?
I'm not really sure. I find that isn't really a coincidence that these two events are staged the way that they are staged. But in addition, what we have is the CDC and organizations that are closely allied to the CDC, like Autism Speaks, that will come up with every particular reason for the autism epidemic, every particular reason that an individual can regress into autism, except for vaccines. I mean, we get it all the time. I mean, I'm the parent of a vaccine-injured child who did receive a diagnosis of autism when he was 18 months old. And now, you know, the latest thing is that dads were too fat. Okay, so autism is linked to dads who are obese. And, you know, I put on some pounds since my son was born, but I can safely say I was not obese when he was born. And, you know, so there have been other studies that the CDC has sponsored citing parental psychosis, that if parents are emotionally disturbed in some way, shape, or form, then somehow they're going to have more autism. Older moms, they've had studies on older moms. They've also had studies on moms who are overweight. You know, traffic patterns, anything, and TV watching, anything in order to sidestep the obvious and the very, very strong relationship between vaccines and autism. And I would contend that, we've been talking about thimerosal and vaccines, but I feel very, very strongly but that is not the only problem in the vaccination schedule today.
I think the waters have become so muddied, Brian, that it is hard to isolate, but yet you have the studies in hand. We'll get to that in a moment. But generation by generation, we have become so broken down, neurologically damaged, immune compromised, that it's easy to muddy these waters on the CDC side, on the pharmaceutical side, so that people are totally confused about the issue.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There are so many confounding variables, and like you said, 49 needle sticks by age 6 years of age, and this vaccination schedule has not been studied. It has not been studied extensively. There's never been a study of the health effects associated with vaccines versus the unvaccinated or partially vaccinated cohort. And the CDC just simply refuses to do the study. It's a very easy study to do. There are lots of individuals in the United States that are unvaccinated. If you look at states like Oregon, their vaccination rates are relatively low. You can find unvaccinated individuals, individuals that as infants never received a vaccine, and you can look at health outcomes. You can look at neurological disorders like autism, but we have an agency that is so conflicted that they will never do that study.
You know, that is very interesting, and we're going to come back with a lot more information. You've got a new study that you want to talk about. I'm going to tie that in with a piece of hormone news. But you know, Brian, there are three things I don't talk about in the public, and that's religion, politics, and vaccine. And because it is such an emotional issue, and we'll need to tap into that, why this is such an emotionally charged issue for people on both sides of the line, and how it is that we can come to a common ground on all of this and start moving forward and understanding the science and the evidence and the great risks that people like you are taking in obtaining sensitive documents and sharing them with the rest of the world. This is Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. Welcome to Autism America. And that is our fate. And the whole world is watching us. Not only are we drugging our kids, we're creating autistic children with a very heavy-duty vaccine schedule. We need to wake up, folks, and look at what we're doing. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. The richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page. You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carroll Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Leslie Botha, your host. And, of course, you're listening to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. We need to stop calling it autism and call it what it is, vaccine-induced brain injury. And that is the science that is backing this up. Brian Hooker is my guest today. Thank you, Brian, for joining us. That was a great first segment. Before we go into this latest study that you want to share with us, and then we have so much more to cover, just briefly help us, help my listeners who may not be familiar with the topic, what autism spectrum disorder is, so we can all get on the same page here.
Okay, well, there's when you're talking about disorders like autism, there's a whole spectrum of individuals that fall under the diagnosis of autism, and even then more broadly, autism spectrum disorder. Autism is primarily deficits regarding socialization, regarding communication, and also, you know, if you look at the strict textbook diagnosis, it would be individuals that are fixated on, you know, repetitive activities, individual topics, things of that nature. And you have individuals that have full-blown autism. Usually the requirement for an autism diagnosis is that they have exhibited these qualities within 3 years of life. And also then you have individuals that are severely affected that have the term autism that may not have speech and language whatsoever, may not be able to communicate readily, and also may spend a significant portion of their time fixated on certain objects or certain activities or the like. And then moving out from that, then you have individuals that are less severely affected. There are individuals with autism diagnoses that have, you know, don't necessarily have IQ impairments. And then there's a whole spectrum of disorders included within the umbrella autism spectrum disorder, including Asperger syndrome, also what's called pervasive developmental disorder. And all of these, you know, if you look at that umbrella, then there's a very, very large number of affected individuals. And the number that you quoted, 1 in 68, that is not autism spectrum disorder. Those are individuals that specifically have autism. So if we look at the full spectrum of disorders, then that number is actually too small. There are more individuals that have autism spectrum disorder. And indeed, you know, it is my belief that a large majority of them had been adversely affected by their vaccines. I'm not saying that vaccines are the only cause for autism, but I do think that when you have an individual that is vaccinated and they're showing signs of a vaccine injury and they end up with the autism diagnosis, then you really, really have to look at that.
You know, and there are physical problems with this as well. I mean, we're just looking at the neurological ones. The CDC lists the neurological ones. But I got into this conversation 30 years ago when two parents in my community introduced me to their daughters who are quadriplegic. And the woman next week, Karen Kane, that I will be interviewing, her daughter was a quadriplegic post-vaccination. So, I mean, this is just one aspect that we're looking at here today. But the disorders, the physical disorders, are as severe. Asthma is another issue. I think you even mentioned sleep disorders at one point
Correct.
In time, which maybe go back to what, neurological?
Right. It does go back to neurological disorders. But again, and you look at individuals that have been diagnosed with autism, a large proportion of them have gastrointestinal disorders. A large portion of them have mitochondrial disorders. And there are multiple health effects that are associated with autism and autism spectrum disorders that are not neurological. It is not as a syndrome. You know, for too long, it has been lumped in as a neurological syndrome. It is multifactorial. It involves multiple systems within the body. And I think, you know, we do a severe disservice to children if we ignore these comorbidities that, you know, come along with the diagnosis of autism.
Absolutely. So as we've mentioned now, the number is, well, and I said in a press release, well, more is less. Or less is more, I guess, but so the lower the numbers go, the more rampant the epidemic. And we are looking at some serious stats, 1 in 68 with autism. How many other children afflicted along that spectrum, plus add in all of these other physical or some of these physical diseases that we have been talking about. But that's just one piece of it, Brian, and you're going to tell us about a study on African Americans that the CDC had in 2002, I think, and did not release. Because and that is the next question: where are the African Americans on this issue? Because most of the people that I am talking to or in conversation with are Caucasian. What is happening to our brothers and sisters in this community, Brian?
Well, there, the rate of autism in the African American community is actually there are several different studies. The prevailing thought had been that the rate of autism among African Americans is the same or lower as Caucasians. And it turns out that a study by Durkin et al. This came out in 2010. What they did was they looked at different socioeconomic strata within the Caucasian community and the African American community, and they saw that when you started to match individuals within the same socioeconomic strata, that the prevalence of autism in African Americans was nearly 25% higher than that of Caucasians. So it's really, you know, I've been stymied that there isn't more of a conversation within the community about this, but in fact, according to this Durkin paper, it came out in a journal called Public Library of Science 1, PILOS 1, in 2010, that this is probably the, you know, a more correct figure, that there is a higher prevalence of autism within within these individuals.
So, since we're all biochemically different, all right, this whole one vaccine that fits all just needs to get thrown out the window, along with the whole vaccine industry needs to go out the window. But to even think that one medication fits all, one birth control method fits all, one antidepressant fits all, one vaccine fits all, this is bad science. This is not good science.
We are so far beyond bad science. This is a huge catastrophe, what we're doing to individuals. And in this era where we're supposed to be touting point-of-care medicine, medicine that is specific to the individuals, why do we have a vaccination schedule that is, like you said, Leslie, one-size-fits-all?
And one-size-fits-all. And this is happening on the HPV vaccine front. An article came out, and actually based on a study about how HPV vaccines may be less effective for black women. The Lusaka Times reported this April 5th, black women may get less protection than whites from the vaccines recommended for preventing human papillomavirus, which causes cervical cancer. Wrong, but I won't get into that right now. A new study suggests the current available vaccines, Gardasil and Cervarix, don't target the types of HPV infection found most often in black women, the study author said. Experts have long believed that most cervical cancers are caused by persistent infection with the subtypes of sexually transmitted virus known as HPV 16 and HPV 18. These are the strains targeted by Gardasil and Cervarix. But black women tend to develop cancer of the cervix, the lower part of the uterus, or womb, and die from it more often than white women, even when screening programs are similar, according to background information included in the study. This led researchers to wonder if blacks might be less likely to benefit from the vaccination. Dr. Sinhung Lee has brought this up. He's a pathologist. He was a pathologist at Milford Medical Libraries and Medical Laboratories in Milford, Connecticut, brought this up many years ago on a radio show, and I guess I have been talking about vaccines for a while, but that even amongst the Caucasians, that HPV 16 and 18 may not be prevalent in all demographics. In fact, he pointed it out scientifically that it is not. So here again, we're showing that the one vaccine fits all thinking is erroneous and detrimental to women's health. Because again, what happens when you have a vaccine that's targeting two viral strains that aren't even present in the body? And we don't know right. The answer to that question.
We don't know exactly what is going to happen. We don't know, and we do know that if we're targeting a virus that's not in the body and is not going to be in the body, it's absolutely, at best, absolutely useless.
It's at best absolutely useless, and yet Merck and the Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation and the World Health Organization are touting and pushing this vaccine in India and Africa, where, of course, it is mainly a black population.
And it's big
now
money.
And to make money. And there's no tracking system and there's no follow-up, and that's why three women in India have taken their case to the Supreme Court and have gotten a writ of petition to have their case heard on unethical and illegal trialing of Gardasil and the HPV vaccines in their country. So you made a point yesterday, Brian, about why there might be this discrepancy with vaccines, a higher rate of autism amongst African Americans, and HPV vaccines not being effective due to vitamin D.
That is correct. And what I found, if you don't mind, I want to take a minute just to revisit the results of this study that I've been working on. Is that okay?
No, please do.
Okay. So what I found in 2002, between 2002 and 2004, the CDC did a study on children, specifically in the metropolitan Atlanta area. It was five different counties. School-age children that were born from 1986 to 1993. And specifically what they want to look at was the uptake of the first MMR vaccine. And the first MMR vaccine is you know, throughout the different recommended vaccination schedules has been recommended anywhere between 12 months of age all the way up to about 18 months of age. So according to the CDC in this study, they considered individuals that received the MMR vaccine before 18 months of age as individuals that received that vaccine on time. And so they went ahead and published this study. They said, hey, there's no effect of the timing of the first MMR vaccine and autism incidence. So in other words, you can get your MMR vaccine on time. I went back and I was able to request the data directly from the CDC. The data came to me de-identified, so, you know, there weren't any issues with FERPA laws or HIPAA laws. And I saw a very, very strong effect, actually, when I looked at males that received the vaccine. I split the group of individuals into individuals that received the vaccine before 3 years of life and individuals that received the vaccine after 3 years of life. And I saw a particularly strong effect in males. And looking through the data, I realized that there was a significant enough population of African Americans, and specifically African American males, that I could run this analysis and I could come up with statistically valid results for that particular segment of the population. And it turns out that when I look at these males, these are African Americans who either received the MMR vaccine before 36 months of life versus after 36 months of life, then they are, those that received the vaccine before 36 months of life, essentially on time, were 3.4 times higher likelihood to receive an autism diagnosis. So in other words, they were 340% more likely to receive a diagnosis of autism. And I saw that this effect was essentially reserved for African American male children only. When I factored out the other populations and I checked the other populations, I did not see a strong, statistically significant effect, but I saw this in particular in African American males. I looked at the fact that there is a greater prevalence of low birth weight in African Americans in general. So I went ahead and I factored out that in my analysis, and the results were essentially the same. 3.4 times more likely within this population to receive an autism diagnosis if they receive the MMR vaccine 36 months of age or earlier.
And where are the African Americans on this issue? We want to invite them because, I mean, the groups that are out there are so supportive of families with autistic children, children who have been vaccine damaged, and we need to be offering the same sort of support mechanisms into other communities. I mean, doesn't that open the door, Brian, then, for looking at vaccine damage on other communities in our country, say the Filipino, the Hispanic, the Latino community?
Yes, we have physiological differences. We have, there's an extreme level of diversity in different populations, and there have been clusters of individuals that have been identified that have a higher incidence of autism. Namely, the one that is probably been the most publicized is the Somalian refugee community in Minnesota. They've just seen a huge explosion of autism within that particular community. And, these are dark-skinned individuals, and physiologically they're going to react differently, especially within our climate up above the Tropic of Cancer in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is vitamin D status.
And because they are dark-skinned.
Because they are dark-skinned.
Share that with us.
Okay,
yeah,
so
sure.
So essentially, light-skinned individuals, we are able to manufacture vitamin D in our bodies due to exposure to sunlight. Okay, particular types of visible radiation directly from the sun cause us to produce vitamin D. Now, with that, it's still among white individuals. It has been estimated that white individuals are probably about 60% of the population is vitamin D insufficient. They're not getting enough vitamin D. I would contend that's probably a greater level. But if you look at darker-skinned individuals, the melanin in their skin actually inhibits the production of vitamin D, so they need a greater dosage of sunlight in order to get the same amount of vitamin D as light-skinned individuals. And it's been estimated that African Americans in the United States, only about 5 to 10% of those individuals are achieving vitamin D sufficiency, either through direct sunlight contact or through supplementation of vitamin D.
Brian, let's just leave it there. We've got to go to break, folks. You got to think about all of this and what's going on. And we'll be right back. This is Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. the richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project, which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carroll Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. We need to stop calling it autism and call it what it is, vaccine-induced brain injury. Dr. Brian Hooker, we're going to go right back to him as we were having a discussion about vitamin D, skin color, and how vaccines may affect people across the spectrum. One vaccine doesn't fit us all. Dr. Hooker, please keep going with that conversation.
Okay, this is, you know, and this is just a horrible result. I mean, and there are two things that I'd like to cover. Number one is mechanistically, why are we, you know, how can we link vitamin D sufficiency with MMR damage leading to autism? And number two, how and why did the CDC hide this result? I mean, they knew about this back in 2002. So just to go back to the first issue, you know, regarding mechanistically, vitamin D status is also linked to vitamin A status, and vitamin A is needed to fight off any type of measles virus. And what you're getting when you get the MMR vaccine is supposedly an attenuated version of both rubella and rubeola, you know, rubella, German measles, and rubeola, what's called generic measles. So you need vitamin A in order to combat this infection that is being induced by a needle stick. And so when you have lower vitamin D status in African Americans, then you have a lower ability in order to fight off this endogenous infection. And, you know, lower vitamin D status has been linked to immunological issues in African Americans. African American females are more susceptible to lupus, which is an autoimmune condition. You see higher titers of Epstein-Barr virus in African American youth when you compare those to white individuals. And then also you look at issues of childhood adversity, and I think it's no secret that there's probably more childhood adversity in underprivileged, underserved communities, including African Americans, and this would be more prevalent in African and American boys. And these types of adverse conditions have been shown to have immunological consequences. Okay, so what are we doing? I mean, why are we doing this to a underserved, underprivileged population? It just seems like it adds insult to injury.
And that is a really good question. And if the CDC knows, that is the question. Why is the CDC hiding this information from us? You mentioned liability before, but I mean, this is crucial to the health and well-being and the economic health and well-being of our country.
Absolutely.
It does not even make any sense to me at all. And now to even say, so you've opened that door, you've exposed this study, and then what about, as I mentioned before, all of our other brothers and sisters, Hispanics, Latinos, Filipinos, Vietnamese, Japanese, who are not as dark-skinned as the others, but still, the impact has got to be huge. And, of course, we now know that Japan has put a moratorium on the HPV vaccine in their country because of how it has severely affected the girls, a small group of mothers, and some support from SaneVax and other organizations have put this together to get the Japanese government to wake up. And yet, what is it going to take to wake up our government, Brian? Where are we going to go from here?
I wish I had a good answer to that question. I wish I had a single answer to that question. The CDC knew about this relationship as early as 2002, and I obtained some spreadsheets directly from CDC that showed these relationships, that showed that they knew that there was an effect, an MMR effect on African Americans. And what they did is very duplicitously, in their final publication, they eliminated any blacks from the analysis that could not produce a birth certificate. And so if these individuals could not produce a birth certificate, then they were not included in the epidemiological study. And so the study got smaller and smaller and smaller. And when sample sizes get smaller in statistics, you lose statistical power. So they basically came back and they said, well, there might be an effect, but it's not statistically significant, so we're not going to report it. But that is, you know, that's total hooey. They had the entire cohort. They saw the statistically significant effect, and they used dubious fraudulent statistics to actually make it go away, and they continue to recommend the MMR early in life. I believe that the recommendation is at 12 or 15 months of life currently, and it's obviously having an effect, adverse effect on African American males.
Stunning information. We've got a lot to cover yet before we go to the top of the hour. Brian, what about people who are forced to get vaccines? I mean, that is what is happening. State legislation, job requirements, they like nurses working in hospitals, they have to be vaccinated. We've seen stories of nurses being fired because they're not vaccinated. Or they're not choosing not to vaccinate. What do you suggest for people under those circumstances?
Well, first of all, if you have to get a flu shot, make sure that you get a single-dose vial, because that flu shot, if you get a multi-dose vial flu shot, then you are getting 25 micrograms of mercury. And if you look at the EPA safe level for mercury exposure in any given day, an individual would have to weigh about 600 pounds in order to be able to process and detoxify 25 micrograms of mercury. I don't really know any health professionals that do weigh 600 pounds, but I would say, you know, first and foremost, if you have to get a flu shot, make sure it's a formulation that is in a single-dose vial. There is thimerosal, but there is much less thimerosal. Second of all, make sure that you detoxify from that vaccination. And the best thing to do is to make sure that both before and after the vaccination, I would say a week before and a week after at least, that you are starting to take antioxidants, that you have a significant increase of the antioxidants in your body. I mean, take vitamin C, vitamin E, alpha-lipoic acid, things like that, in order, because vaccines in general are pro-oxidative. They're going to increase the oxidative stress in your body, and the best thing that you can do is to combat that is to make sure that you are essentially flooding your system with antioxidants.
And that is a very good point, and I have been stating that as well. I mean, we take care of our cars, and we winterize our homes, we winterize our cars, yet we go in for surgery, we go in and get vaccinated, and we don't even think twice about how we're feeling for women, where they are in their menstrual cycle, and or even preparing our bodies for this toxic onslaught. We have to become educated. We are the ones that have to wake up. And certainly my sponsor, I have to mention my sponsor now, True Hope Nutritional Support, with their supplement that is being used for autism. Yes, autism, anxiety, depression, anxiety. I mentioned that already, bipolar disorder. It's certainly strengthening the brain so we can deal with these onslaughts. You can call them, go to truehope.com. You'll get 25% off on your first order. This is the new medicine. And I'm glad that, Brian, that you're bringing it up. But in just the time that we have left, let's go back to the study about the flu vaccine and pregnancy, because it seemed to me at one point in time, we were all saying, no, you don't want to get vaccinated when you're pregnant. And that was the policy. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And the government is saying, the flu vaccine is safe during pregnancy. But it's not.
No, it's not. It absolutely should be avoided during pregnancy. And my advice for any individual who's pregnant and is being forced to get a vaccination, whether it's the flu shot or the Tdap or some other type of vaccine, is it's not worth your job to do that. Okay, so your job is, your health and the health of the developing fetus inside of you is much, much more important than, getting a shot. And by the way, the prestigious Cochrane Review out of the UK said that if you obtain a flu shot, you would actually have to have 71 individuals obtain a flu shot in order to prevent perhaps one case of the flu. Okay, so you're not preventing the flu. And the flu shot is not, it's no guarantee. In fact, I would say it's not even close to being preventative to the flu. What it's actually doing is it's increasing the level of inflammation in your body and also in the body of the developing fetus. Inflammation is crucial to avoid for neurodevelopment when you've got development of neurological tissue, and it can lead to developmental maladies, including autism. So vaccines should be avoided in general during pregnancy. And the biggest problem that I saw, I was able to uncover some background information from what's called the PRICE study that the CDC came out with in 2010. The biggest thing that I saw was that among pregnant women that received thimerosal-containing shots, okay, and this was the flu shot as well as another medicine called RhoIg for Rh factor disease, among those individuals, they were 8.7 times more likely to have a child that would regress into autism, 8.7 times.
And this is the message that needs to get out to every childbearing age woman out there, and it's our responsibility. Brian has gotten the documents. He has researched them. He has verified them with his own research. Now we know, and now it is up to us to share this information with every person that we know so that we can stop the neurological, physical damage, pathological damage to our children. Childbearing, bringing life into this world, should be the happiest time of a parent's life. And indeed it is. Until today, where now we are living in autism America. And we need to get some common sense back. Just, Brian, just briefly, that pregnant woman is pressured. We've only got a couple of minutes left. That pregnant woman is pressured in the office. How does she overcome that?
Vote with your feet. There are pediatricians that will serve individuals that are unvaccinated or undervaccinated. There are obstetricians that will work with women who choose not to get vaccinated. I really would like to see...
I'm going to have to cut it off there. I'm sorry, but with your feet. turn around, walk out that door, and we're going to have to close, Dr. Hooker. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing the information that you have, and I'll look forward to having you back on another time. We've just got a minute left, and I just want to invite you to join me on Thursday, April 17th, when I interview Karen Kane. She is the author of the recently published book, A Unique Life Fully Lived, A Personal Journey of Love, Hope, and Courage. And Karen's daughter, Lauren, was born in 1994 at 6 weeks. She had an adverse reaction to her one and only DPT vaccine, leaving her with severe brain damage and the quadriplegia that we discussed. Once again, I want to thank Dr. Hooker. I want to thank the support of my sponsor, True Hope Nutritional Support, the leaders in brain health, and I want to thank all of my listeners. We are sharing messages of true hope here. Now it's us to go out and educate the rest of the world. We're not anti-vacciners. We are science-based, evident, concerned medical consumers. We need to switch out the language. We need to save ourselves from our own demise. I will not stand for this being Autism America. I'll be back again next week. Take care, everyone, and blessings.
Thanks for tuning in to Holy Hormones, Honey. Please join host Leslie Carol Botha again next Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great and healthy week.